Welcome to the Thriving Forward podcast. Now to introduce your hosts. Hi, I'm Megan Laspinera. I'm the founder and executive director of Kids Thrive 585 Inc. and a pediatrician in Rochester, New York.
And I'm Sarah Collins McGowan. I'm also a pediatrician here in Rochester, and I teach community health and advocacy to pediatric residents. In each episode, we will speak with people involved in good works and projects in the greater Rochester area. We hope that by introducing you to these inspirational people and their stories, you will be motivated to learn more about these amazing organizations in our region and the fabulous people who keep them working.
This week, I'm joined by Amy Albanese. She is the Community Relations Manager for Person-Centered Services. Amy has a bachelor's degree from Notre Dame College in Arts and Education with a concentration in mild to moderate intervention specialization for K-12 students. Before her current role, Amy spent 3 years as a teacher for children with autism in Ohio. When she returned to New York, she was the Director of Community Connections for Adaptive Recreation Services, now known as Abilities Movement. She was the Community Resource Specialist at the Arc of Monroe for 2 years. She spent a year as an intake specialist at Person-Centered Services before beginning her current role over 2 years ago. Amy, thank you for joining me on the podcast today.
Hi, Meg. Thanks for having me.
So before we get started talking about all the amazing work that you're doing and that Person-Centered Services does for people in the community, we like to ask an icebreaker question. Tell us about something that you're into lately. Could be anything.
Something that I'm really into is Burn Boot Camp. So I definitely struggled finding a workout outlet for me after being a collegiate athlete, and Burn Boot Camp has significantly changed my life. It's just a community of amazing women, in my local town, and it's just been life-changing and saving for me, especially during this pandemic.
I have to ask more about this collegiate athleticism. What did you do in college?
Yeah, I was a Division II lacrosse college athlete.
That's awesome. And so Burn Boot Camp is giving you some of that fire back.
Definitely. Even sometimes harder than playing college sports. Find myself, doing burpees and running and sprinting, but it just brings me so much joy, and it's, really changed me mentally, physically, emotionally, and to becoming, the best version of myself I can be today.
That's awesome. So Person-Centered Services, Office of People with Developmental Disabilities, there's a lot to unpack in your current role and the organization that you work for. So why don't we start with just basics of what is Person-Centered Services and what do they do?
Yep. So Person-Centered Services, we are what's known as a care coordination organization, and we support individuals from birth to life with intellectual and developmental disabilities. And so they have to have a qualifying diagnosis and also a substantial handicap in the areas of social communication and daily living skills. And so these individuals, they can have all different types of abilities. And they can be functioning members of society, they could live independently, hold employment jobs, volunteer in the community, anything that these individuals are interested in pursuing. We have care coordinators who help link and refer and oversee. So it's that connection component to help manage all areas of their life. And so we can only support individuals who have OPWD eligibility, known as Office for People with Developmental Disabilities. So that is state-run services, and they're kind of like the housekeeper of overseeing all of the services that exist, as well as care coordination. So we are known as what's also a health home. And so we can support an individual on all aspects of their life and not just referring to OPWD services. So we can make referrals to mental health, behavioral health, any medical providers. Really focusing on their social determinants of health is a big component of being a health home care manager. So the only services that we have in our agency is care coordination. And then we will link to all areas of services, including OPWD. So we have Department of Health and OPWD oversight.
Talk a little bit about the diagnoses, the qualifying things that would allow somebody to come to you guys for services, and then talk a little bit about what the intake process looks like at Person-Centered Services.
Yep. So to qualify, like I mentioned, you have to have a qualifying diagnosis, which can be anything from intellectual disability, neurological impairment, autism, epilepsy, any of those type of intellectual and developmental disabilities prior to age 22. And so there is a little wiggle room. If somebody as an adult is diagnosed with autism after 22, that may still be considered as a qualifying diagnosis. And then you have to have substantial handicap, which looks at the social, communication, and daily living skills. So there needs to be lifelong deficits in those areas, but also with the care coordinator being able to help find programming and supports to enhance and improve those areas of deficits as well. And so we have a fantastic intake department of about 12 intake staff who it can support a family and an individual through the entire process of applying for OPWD eligibility. And so if anybody on, you know, that's listening to this has gone through this or is aware of this, it's a very intensive, confusing process. So our trained staff are experts in that area and can support a family through that. So they will actually be the liaison for families through that process of eligibility and Medicaid, because you do have to have Medicaid to qualify for getting any of the services and to get care coordination. And so if you qualify for OPWD, then you would qualify for Medicaid as well, especially with children, because there's something called parental deeming where the parent's income actually gets waived in order to be eligible for the Medicaid on a disability basis. And then it counts as secondary insurance. So there's lots of benefits of that. And so our intake specialists will work directly with OPWD. They will work with all providers to obtain and gather all documentation needed. So any psychological evaluations, school records, IEPs, autism diagnosis, any medical documentation to back a qualifying diagnosis, and also a physical within a year. And they'll take all of that. So they'll look at the child's whole life and they'll submit it on behalf for that family to OPWD. OPWD will then review, make a determination. They'll connect with that intake specialist to then communicate with family and any providers involved, like referral sources. And then they'll work with that family through applying for Medicaid and enrollment. And then if there is a denial, they'll work with that family with an explanation and connect them to the appropriate either different areas to get updated testing or whatever that might be to then continue to try reapplying.
How does a family or a physician or a teacher refer somebody to person-centered services? How does that work?
Yep. So for professionals in the community, they can always reach out to me. So in my role, I'm helping educate professionals and I'm their linkage point. So professionals in the community can call me at 585-689-7459. And I can talk through them on, you know, just case by case scenario and then helping them get access to what's called our referral packet. So our referral packet is needed to get an intake specialist, and it's pretty self-explanatory. It's not a lot of paperwork, and that's where we really lean on referral sources in the community to assist. But if we have families on here who want to connect outside of a referral source, they can actually call our direct intake line at 855-208-3533 to get a referral specialist to pre-complete a referral packet for them, mail it for completion, and once it's sent back, they'll get an intake specialist.
What do you feel people are missing in their knowledge about person-centered services or care coordination that you would really like to communicate today?
I would like to communicate that OPWD is not only for individuals who may have a lower functioning ability, it's for people of all ages, all abilities, all different areas of their life that they might need some programming to help enhance that area of their life that they may have deficits, and that it's lifelong and that it's really important, especially for children. So from birth until age 8, you can get provisional eligibility. And then from 8 on, it's permanent for lifelong. And so even if we have children who are just looking to get some type of linkage, you know, for maybe a couple years to get those services to enhance, you know, their independence and their quality of life and really link them to those services to help them, you know, at least a couple years of services might be really impactful. And then if they qualify from 8 on, it's, you know, lifelong, like I mentioned. But to just for individuals in the community and professionals to know that, like, we're here to help. And we offer a free service of linkage to help through this really cumbersome process, but also that there's so many different types of services. It's not just OPWD. It's not just services for people with developmental disabilities. It's for people who might need some coordination to link with medical providers and understand their medication and understand their discharge plans if they're discharged from the hospital, and, you know, get some help with nutrition and their social determinants of health to live the most fulfilling, independent life they possibly can. And so it's just so much more than just getting disability services through OPWD. And there's this really fantastic program called Self-Direction, where individuals can a la carte their services and get more included in the community. So they can get, you know, community classes paid for that are open to the public. They can hire their own staff for respite and what's called community rehabilitation for life skills. And they can be actually be family members who live outside the home. So if you have families who already have natural supports that are helping, you can actually get them hired to support that child or adult and really, you know, enhance that individual's life. And you can get them YMCA memberships, any memberships in the community. You can get assistance for adults with paying for rent, mortgage, utilities. There's just so many options, and it's such a big service to just help coordinate their care.
Can you talk a little bit about some of the programming that you guys might refer somebody to, whether it's a person with autism or someone with seizure disorder? What do those programs look like specifically? Just a few examples.
Yeah, so it really just depends on what that individual's interested in and, you know, where they're looking to enhance, you know, some skills. So it could be from recreation, could be site-based services, like after-school wraparound programming is really, really nice for a lot of individuals. The community rehabilitation that I mentioned, but then also, you know, our care coordinators, and we have a clinical department that's a consult basis for our care coordinators who can link with that provider medical team for somebody who may have seizure disorder and may be having difficulty with medication management and may need more guidance on, you know, maybe linking to a nutritionist or things like that. So, you know, or somebody who might be struggling with managing their emotions and might need some behavior support or maybe counseling. So it's finding that right fit for each individual in the community as a whole for that whole person model of what they might need linkage to.
Why did you choose this work? It looks like, based on your bio, this is something that you've been passionate about for a long time. What is it about working with this population that has driven you?
Yeah, so I actually have a cousin with Down syndrome. And then I have a very close family member whose adult son has developmental disabilities as well. And so I grew up in that inclusive environment, and just seeing the struggle that parents and the hoops they have to jump through in order to get the services for their children that they need is really frustrating. And so to know that I can impact the community on a larger level by providing that education and being that listening ear for families if they need it and supporting families through this linkage of our intake department, just to handhold them and walk them through a very intensive process. You know, if a child, you know, just gets diagnosed with autism, let's say, you know, that's a lot for a parent to process. So for them to have that listening ear and that compassionate, you know, professional in the community who I would say is an expert, you know, to call on, to just to talk to them about, okay, here's where you're at and here's what you can potentially access to really improve your child's life in a really positive way. And so just knowing that I can have that small impact on the community, helping educate professionals and helping link families to these lifelong supports for their children, it just brings me so much joy.
What area does person-centered services cover?
So we are in 18 counties. We serve over 17,000 individuals all the way from Erie County to Cayuga County and down to the Southern Tier area.
What advice would you give to someone who wants to pursue this line of work or is interested in working with persons with sort of developmental disabilities of any kind?
Yeah, and so that's an interesting question, because when I went to school to be a special education teacher, I knew that I wanted to do something on a larger scale. Like, it's obviously amazing work that teachers do, and I credit them so much, and I value special education teachers and teachers so much, but there's this whole other outside of school world for our individuals with developmental disabilities to access services that that you can only do, you know, so much when it's on a school level. So that's where I really work with schools and provide that education and that linkage to just, you know, make these families who have school-age children in general, that access to knowledge of even knowing what's available outside of school. Because when the school bus stops, you know, then what? And that's where we, you know, can fill that gap as well. But from a professional level, just knowing that there's more than just special education teaching when it comes to supporting this population. And there's so much great work out there in the community for nonprofits, for profits, and just volunteering and community work that is there and needs great, passionate, you know, driven educational professionals that I just encourage anybody looking to get into this field. And if they think that the only way to do it is through special education, that it's not. And to just have that hope that there is something bigger out there. And maybe the direction to start is through that avenue of special education to get that knowledge and that background, but that's not the only option.
Does person-centered services have community-based organizations or nonprofits that they work with regularly?
Yep. So we have 29 owner agencies that are all non-for-profits. So they are known as provider agencies. So they're all of the agencies under OPWD that have the programming. They have the recreation, the community rehabilitation. They have any autism supports, clinics, residential, day programming, employment. They have the services. And so person-centered services and care coordination started July 1st of 2018. And prior to that, for many, many years, it was known as Medicaid service coordination. And they were embedded into the provider agencies. And it caused a lot of potentially conflict where maybe you found an individual getting Medicaid service coordination and then only getting their services from that provider agency where they were linked for coordination, which was not always the case. But this is more of a conflict-free environment. And we link and refer to any agency, not only our provider agencies and owner agencies, that an individual might be interested in and might be a good fit for them.
Do you feel as though people don't quite understand person-centered services or that there's a disconnect between people that could be benefiting from the services and aren't quite getting there?
Absolutely. So I find a lot of times, especially for school-aged children and families, that they may not even hear about this until they have already exited school. And so that's my big role, is really pushing that education in the community, especially for your early intervention, your preschool, your kindergarten, your elementary and on, families to just even have an understanding and awareness of this, because you can access it at any time as long as that diagnosis was prior to age 22. So there's definitely a disconnect. A lot of people I'm finding still are connecting care coordination and relating it to the provider agency where they maybe got Medicaid service coordination. So really providing that education to the community, you know, that we are different, we are more, you know, comprehensive in the service and the access that we have, and that we have a clinical department, we have a learning and development department, we have myself and my co-partner, Alan, who is out there educating the community and bringing in new referrals and linking. And they, you know, we have a new benefits and entitlement specialist. We have ambassadors who carry small caseloads, and they actually support our care coordinators in being mentors for them. And so we just are very innovative at person-centered services, and we're constantly taking that feedback from the community and seeing what those needs are. And I definitely think there is a small disconnect in people just even identifying of what person-centered services is.
If someone listens to this podcast and thinks, I need Amy in my office to talk to all of my staff or to talk to my, you know, colleagues so that they hear the great stuff that's going on, is that something that you guys do regularly? What does that look like?
Yep. So that is my main role. So my main role is to be embedded into the community throughout the 10 counties that I support, from Rochester to Cayuga and down to Chemung County, and educating any professional. I even do parent nights. I do lots of virtual opportunity workshops. They're all on our website, but definitely please reach out. I educate school professionals, medical, government, community-based organizations, advocacy, any professional, and parents in the community. So anybody who's interested in continuing learning about this opportunity, definitely I would be the one to reach out to.
That is wonderful. One thing that we like to ask about on the podcast is there a community-based organization that you would like to highlight that you haven't talked about already or that you feel like could use some extra shouting out today?
Can I do two quick ones or just one?
No, go for it. Two is fine.
So the two I'd like to highlight, one would be Gigi's Playhouse. So they are very near and dear to my heart. So they are a non-for-profit community-based organization locally in Rochester, and they have free programming to individuals of all ages. So it was primarily for the population of individuals with Down syndrome, but they are open to any disability and they have all free programming, which is absolutely unheard of in the community. So they heavily rely on donations and grants and volunteers, and they have amazing programming. So check out Gigi's Playhouse. And then the other one is called Wellness Gifts. And so they are based out of Bath, New York. They're actually under grant funding from OPWD called Family Support Services. And so their whole concept is to provide weekend camping retreats for families of individuals, children or adults with developmental disabilities. And so for the entire family to go and experience a camping retreat, and we're housing actually this year, Wellness Gifts will have three different opportunities, one weekend and then 2 day in different areas. And so it provides a respite component for families. So the children or adults with developmental disabilities will get together, make new friends, have kind of that camp experience. And then the parents will have a respite opportunity to get together with other parents and just relax and educate each other and have conversation. And so they are a phenomenal organization.
What is your favorite thing about Rochester?
Ooh, I would say our Finger Lakes, all the water access that we have. I love the water and hiking and just being outside. Wineries too.
Also in the Finger Lakes.
Right.
All right, Amy, why don't you recap for us how people can find out about person-centered services, where they can find you, where they can link any social media or anything that you guys have. Go ahead and give us all that information.
Yep. So to link to me, Amy Albanese, for reaching out to educating professionals and community members and parents, you can contact me at 585-689-7459. You can look on our website to gather more information, and that's where all of our hot topic webinars are. We have fantastic ones. We just did a cyber security. We've done ones on vaccines. You can go to personcenteredservices.com for all of that. All the workshops that I've done and recorded are on there as well for school professionals and parents. If you're looking to link with our intake department, you can reach us at 855-208-3533. And then follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, where we are constantly highlighting success stories and sharing great information.
And are you guys just person-centered services on all those social media accounts?
Yes.
Wonderful. Well, Amy, thank you so much for taking the time to join me today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thriving Forward podcast. This podcast was brought to you by Kids Thrive 585 Inc., the Huckelman Center at the University of Rochester, and Rochester Regional Health. To learn more about today's guest, head over to kidsthrive585.org and click on the podcast link. See you next time.
The views, information, and opinions expressed on this podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of their employers or funders.